Day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Our morning show today from WRCO, we have a musical show to share with you today. Great to have you along. We're talking about The Music Man that will be produced again this summer in Richland Center. And joining us, Andrew Sharp, director, Glenn Dunn, assistant director, and Logan Willis will be involved with the musical direction as well of this particular musical. Good morning, Andrew. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So The Music Man, is this one that you've had on the radar for a while?
Well, yeah, Community Players has had it on the radar for a while. I think the main thing is that in 2020, Don Hart was directing out at the campus, and he decided that he wanted to do The Music Man. And so they had started up. They had cast the show. Glenn was Mayor Shin in the show. And COVID came along, of course, and pulled the plug on them. And they fought and fought and fought. But, you know, at the beginning of COVID, nobody really knew what was going to happen. But it became apparent that they couldn't do the show, and that was that. So we've had it on the radar. You know, it's a very popular show to do. But I was thinking that it'd be nice to do a popular show, something that everybody knows. And I said that I would direct whatever people thought we should do. And I suggested Oliver or The Music Man. Now, I was leaning for Oliver because I've always loved that show. But then I was talking to my wife, and she said I'd rather watch The Music Man than Oliver. And seeing as I do everything for her, Phil, I decided, all right, well, if she'd rather do The Music Man, let's do The Music Man.
Smart man.
Right. Yep. So.
It is a popular musical, and as we were preparing for the show, I was thinking about it and all of the popular musicals from that era. But song-wise, I think this one might have the most recognizable songs of all of them, doesn't it?
You know, I think you're right. And there were originally, well, they tried out 40 songs for the show and then settled on 22, which is not unusual to do something like that. But they really hit. And Meredith Wilson, as I understand it, wrote the show and also wrote the songs. And it was his first musical. So really knocked it out of the park on the first try. But yeah, it's got songs that practically everybody knows nowadays and are very recognizable and very popular, which is why it's such a popular show.
You're here today to kind of shake the weeds a little bit to try and get some people out for
tryouts, right? It's a good show. It's a fun show. I'm hoping it'll be a popular show that a lot of people will come to see, but we're hoping that a lot of people will come to audition. And that's really the bedrock of any show. I mean, it's axiomatic, I guess. It's obvious. If you got good people, you've got a good show. And so we're hoping to get people to come out. We need lots of people because The Music Man comes to River City, Iowa, and he meets the entire town, basically. Well, we need to put the entire town on stage, and that's young people, old people, men, women, children, girls, boys, you know. So we need a lot of people and not real demanding parts. You don't have to be a lead. You don't have to sing a lead part. And you can come and sing in the chorus. There's a lot of great, oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. You know, popular songs that people know that are fun to sing. We did that with the Richland Chorus. You know, it's just a great song. So
76 trombones.
76 yep. Trombones. When the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, I think the first time, like mm-hmm. February 9th of 1963 or thereabouts, the second song that they did was Till There Was You. Mm-hmm. There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. I'm a little flat on that, but he's got perfect pitch.
Yeah, Logan
does, so he would know that. So Paul McCartney obviously loved that song. He sang it. And it's kind of his genre because he loved old-timey songs. When I'm 64 is kind of an old-timey song and really hits home to me because I am 64 now. But a lot of good songs in the show, so...
Most definitely. Do you have a head count, like, kind of in your mind, how many you need to put this show on?
Well, I have a habit of casting everybody that tries out. And, you know, you can't guarantee that you're going to do that. But I'd like to have 60, 65, 70 people in the show when it comes down to it. And then on top of that... we're doing a live orchestra, which Aaron Starks is the choral director, and she more or less insisted that we do a live orchestra, which is where Logan comes in. So we also need people for the orchestra, and I know there's a lot of people out there that like to play in orchestras, played in orchestras when they were in high school, and now you don't get a chance. You know, people don't say, hey, bring your trombone with you tonight, and we'll jam out. I'll have my tambourine, and it'll be a great time.
It's rare, I'm sure.
Right, right. So you can be in an orchestra, and that's a lot of fun, too. There's a lot of opportunities here, and, you know, people can try out for the leads, and people can try out to be just a townsperson. If you don't want to be on stage, there are plenty of jobs backstage. If you can wield a hammer, we need carpenters mainly to build the set. One of the more skilled things that we need that we don't have and that are carpenters, I shouldn't say, mainly. But you can work on lights if that's your interest. Makeup, costumes, there's a whole lot of things to do.
What are the production dates this year, Andrew?
We're going to do the show the last weekend of July, which I think it's the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
I think so, yeah.
And then the first week of August, I know that's the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So, yeah.
Always seems like you have a long ways off. You know, it's a long ways off, and then you start getting to work, and then it doesn't seem like that, does it?
Yes, time goes very quickly. The nice thing about this show is, from my point of view, you generally need 40 rehearsals for a musical, and we will have 49, basically. So director is always the week you're going to open that you're always going, oh, if I only had one more week, I could really, well, hopefully we'll have that one more week.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We look forward to it this summer. Let's ask Logan a few questions here. Good morning, Logan.
Good morning, Phil.
Long time no see.
Yeah, long time no see.
Yeah. Are you excited about The Music Man?
I am very excited about The Music Man. I don't even remember when I was actually officially asked about doing this this role, but I pretty much immediately said yes.
That's good. How about that?
Yeah,
you don't get that very often, Andrew.
I thought we were dragging him here kicking and screaming, and I'm glad to know it's not true.
You've studied a lot of music. As you look at The Music Man, Andrew and I talked about the songs, but some pretty special songs in this particular production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember singing Wells Fargo Wagon Wheel with the Richland Community Choir just this past summer. So I was already very familiar with that. And it's a very very interesting process to go through the rest of the songs with my own personal studying for the upcoming rehearsals and just learn where a lot of the songs that I had been hearing for a lot of my life had actually ended up originating from.
Mm-hmm. Is the music difficult to play?
It really depends on the part. I know that the keyboard part is very difficult to play. I remember when Dr. Sinnott played the piano accompaniment for the Richland Community Choir this past year for that song. It was occasionally rough just because it was such a demanding part.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want to scare anybody off because
Oh, no.
You've got lots of orchestra parts there.
Yeah, I know, and I know that the trombone and the trumpet parts are especially quite fun.
Uh-huh.
Just especially listening to a lot of the march sections in the overture, the 76 trombones. It's a lot.
When the songs are that well known, does it make it even more difficult incumbent upon you to play them well?
It does, and I admittedly do have a little bit of anxiety about just making sure that it can be as effective a performance as possible. But it's also an interesting challenge that I would like to rise to.
Sure. So let's go back a little bit. Now, I remember you when you were a youngster. What was the first production that you were involved in?
The first production that I was involved in would have actually been, I think, the Ithaca School District's production of Oklahoma, where Andrew was director of that show many years ago. I think it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. The first community players show that I was a part of, I think, was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, if I'm not mistaken, which was 2014, mm-hmm. I think.
Big ensemble cast, right?
Mm-hmm. We recently just did, or I recently updated a list of all the shows that we've done that was started by Paul Murphy, thank you very much, who did most of it, and I updated it and I counted. And since 2000, not counting community players, goes back to 1966 when Gene Burkett and Nancy Keegan were doing shows. But since I got involved and started it up again in 2000, we've done 46 shows, which I wouldn't have guessed it was that many. But short answer is yes, I think Seven Brides sounds like 2014 to be a good guess. So.
Yeah. I remember you being in your Good Man Charlie Brown as well.
Oh yeah, that was 2012 at Ithaca.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was Linus Van Pelt for that production.
Right.
And I was Linus Van Pelt in the production that we did back in the 90s to raise money for the grand piano out at the campus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Chris Simonson was Snoopy. I always tell the story.
Typecast.
Yeah, well after the show, we all went to Pizza Hut or something like that. The cast went to Pizza Hut, and we walk in, and all the kids go that had been to the show, Snoopy, Snoopy. Didn't pay any attention to any of the rest of us. It was just Snoopy. So, anyway.
I played Snoopy in high school, by the way. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're all alumni of that show.
Yes, we are. And Logan talked about Oklahoma. And, you know, I was thinking about Oklahoma has Mr. Akeem, who's kind of that traveling salesman guy. Well, it's kind of the same thing in The Music Man, because isn't the main character kind of the traveling guy going from town to town?
Right, yeah. And, of course, it was Robert Preston on Broadway in 1957 when the show opened. And then after that, he was replaced by Eddie Albert, who people, at least our generation, would recognize as the guy on Green Acres. And I won't sing Green Acres for you, but he's a traveling salesman that is challenged by the other traveling salesman on a train to try the people in Iowa because they're such a stiff-necked bunch and that he's not going to get anywhere with them. And he comes in and just charms everybody and hypnotizes the whole town, except for Mayor Shin and Marion the librarian, who are not as susceptible. And so the whole show is the Music Man finally winning Marion over, and he's going to bring a boys' band, and he brings a boys' band to the town. How good the boys' band is open to question, but he still fulfilled his contract. So, anyway.
Do the actors play instruments on stage, Logan, or is that where
they're going to fake it?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's an excellent question. Yeah,
I don't know either.
Golly gosh. Not only do you get this part, but you have to learn to play the trombone.
Right.
because they do the da 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 da. I can't think of the name of this song. Da 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 da. And they play it poorly at the end because Harold Hill actually doesn't know anything about music and can't really teach them. But that's a good question, how we're going to do that. When Don did it, did you know how you were going to have them play at the end?
I think we just faked it.
Oh, okay. Where are we going to get a dozen kids that know how to play instruments?
Sure.
I don't know, but
I mean, if any of the students at local schools who are in band programs want to audition, that would be one great way to have that.
Oh, that would be. Yeah. That'd be perfect.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, we need a lot of boys for the boys' band. Now, I'm assuming that we also could use girls. We'll just tuck their hair up under the hats, and yeah, so.
Is this a show, because it's an ensemble cast, where people can play more than one part then as well?
No, I'm hoping we have enough people that everybody can have one part. Sometimes that good, sometimes that bad. I know when they did Wizard of Oz in 2016, they cast separate people as the farmhands and as the lion and the tin man and scarecrow. I wouldn't personally do that because part of the magic is that they're the same people. But in this show, there'd be no reason to do something like that. Mm-hmm. So now, the exception might be Glenn. I usually assign Glenn to 5 or 6 parts in a show.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That usually happens, yeah.
Different dialects and everything else, whatever he needs. Yeah. Glenn, what are you most looking forward to when we put on The Music Man this summer in Richland Center?
I think it'll just be a fun show. It's a fun show to do. There's lots of characters in the show, so anybody who shows up, I mean, there's certainly some spot we could fit you in, you know. And it's not as scary as some people think, you know, oh my God, I'm going to audition and I can't dance and they want me to sing. And it's like, don't worry about it. We'll work on that. Myself, I don't dance. I'm not a very good dancer. They'll throw me into dance scenes, but usually what happens is they'll put me, Glenn, why don't you be way in the back, you know, maybe behind that tree and, you know, then we'll hide you that way.
Yeah, they probably did that back in school, didn't they? They put you ensemble in the back there. So you, Andrew mentioned that it was originally cast back in 2020. And so are you going to be playing a role as well as assistant director, or how do you?
Well, it all depends on, you know, like Andrew was saying, he wants to have each person be an individual character. But depending on who shows up, we may have to double up roles and stuff like that. And being the assistant director, I might also have to be the stage manager, and I might also have to be the mayor, and I might have to be, you know, all these other little things. So I'll be running.
There are some plum parts in the show, though, because it's a comedy as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of humor in it. And it's always good as an actor when you get the funny lines, you know, when you could be out there and you're the one and people go, oh, that guy's hilarious. Well, they don't realize that you've been rehearsing it you've heard that same joke 40 times already, but no one in the audience has heard it yet. So now it's a fresh laugh and you're like, yeah, can't wait to do that again, you know?
Yeah, that reinvigorates you. I know after you practice it, you know, 100 times and then you get that first laugh and it's all of a sudden, oh yeah, that's right. That is funny.
It was funny.
That was
right.
Funny.
Yeah.
What part do you think is kind of, there's, didn't Buddy Hackett, wasn't he in the movie version?
Yeah, he played Marcellus, yes. Who is the best friend of the Music Man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He gets some laughs on stage.
He gets a lot of laughs. Yeah.
That's a good part. And you're doing it at the high school then as well, Glenn?
We'll be doing it at the high school, yep.
Mm-hmm. That allows you a lot of space. And
It's a much bigger stage, which is great. We can have a bigger set. We also have wing space, which is basically the areas next to the stage, so we can actually bring props in and out. And it's always a problem with the copper top. There is very little wing space. So if you had to bring a big set piece in, you'd basically have to store it in the hall and then hope, you know, squeeze it in and get it through and, you know, hope that the lights from the doors don't, you know, alert people that, oh yeah, they're bringing in this big set. So
right. So yeah. It does afford you those opportunities. And certainly, as far as the set, is it a challenging set to put together? Or?
Well, we haven't really decided that yet. I'm kind of hoping that less is more. It's kind of, I've been to several shows where it's basically, like, say it's a dining room set, and basically it's just the dining room table and the chairs. I know what Andrew wants is, well, it's got to be the dining room, the chairs, a chandelier. We got to have some windows. We're going to have like 3 doors. Maybe a staircase will be rolled in, and then the grand piano will come in.
He knows me too well.
I know him too well, and the problem with that is that it looks great. But it's like, as soon as the lights go off and I've got to move all that stuff out and bring in an office suite, you know, it takes a long time to do. So,
see, and there is a spot where people who want to be backstage could be stagehands, bringing the sets in and out, And that's a challenging job, but I think that once you get it down, it's fun because it's very, you know, okay, now we've got to do this, we've got to move this exactly here and put it exactly here, and then, okay, you know, it's a challenge, and they usually become a group unto themselves. You know, I don't want to say that there's cliques exactly, but there's esprit de corps, I guess, is what I would say. So
it'd be interesting to have some film footage of the behind the scenes, because that's almost like a production in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the main reasons I love theater. I don't know why. I love being backstage and being in on the magic, being in on the secret of how this is all happening. So that's kind of what motivates me.
Does the Music Man allow for any like special effect parts and things like that?
There really isn't. The only thing that I can think of is Tommy sets off a firecracker and scares Mrs. Shin, who passes out. That's about the only special effect I can think of in the show. So
if you have to allow for some sound effects, then Glenn.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I know that we have a fog machine, a smoke machine, that in every show, Brandon Merkel always wants us to throw.
Right.
We got to have smoke on this one. It's going to be smoke. Right. We got to do smoke for this. Right. And it's just...
Right. Yeah. In Heidi, he used the smoke machine in this scene. And I go, okay, they're in downtown Frankfurt. Where exactly is the fog or the smoke coming from in this house? But he definitely loves that smoke machine.
Well, we got to get our money's worth out of it.
You got to use it, right?
Of course, if you spread it out through a bunch of different shows, then it's cheaper per show. Yeah.
So, you know, you put on a lot with community players through the years, Andrew. What do you consider a successful show? I mean, not only by attendance, obviously, right?
Well, attendance, you know, a successful show to me is when, and this, I don't know how this is going to sound. As a director, you have a vision of a show and how you want it to be. And when you achieve that vision, then it's a successful show to me. One of my favorite shows is Man of La Mancha. It's not a well-known show because the movie sucked. And they really destroyed what could have been a great show. So it's not that popular. It's one of my favorites. We did it here. And we lost money on it. But, you know, Norbert Kalnin was Don Quixote, which it was exactly what I had imagined it being. And so to me, it was a big success. Bill Honer built a huge set. Oh, my God. It was huge and had this huge. So in any event, I like big sets, as Glenn knows. I thought that it was a successful show, even though we lost money on it. But yeah, I'd much rather make money on a show if we could, at least a little money, so that we have something to start with the next time.
And with a big show like this and a big cast, you know, if everybody brought two of their closest fans, and, you know, I mean, you're going to do all right.
Hopefully so. Well, I'm hoping that enough people get involved in it, that there's kind of an anticipation to see it, that you know, well-known people will come and try out, you know, Phil Nee and people like that. So,
sure. So. Yeah. I don't know about that. We'll have to check my agent on that one.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Logan, you know, as far as the Music Man is concerned and the music and things like that, what do you like about the music that you're going to be playing or dealing with here?
It really feels very much like it's getting back to, I guess, my own personal roots. It feels very, very natural to listen to. It feels very natural to from looking at the score, like, interpret and feel like how it should go, how it's going to go, and so on and so forth. In my own personal experience of looking through the score for my own study, it's also riddled with a lot of these conducting-based challenges with tempo changes, with specific cues. It just looks to be a very engaging score, both from the sound of it as well as from the process of getting it to performance.
When you've studied music, and I know you've studied a lot through your years, musicals like this? Is that something that's kind of frowned upon, you know, in some of the places you're, or is it kind of revered?
It kind of depends on where, it kind of depends on where you are and what like area, what area you study. In the vocal realm, at the very least, some voices are a little bit better apt for musical performance rather than, like a musical, Broadway musical style, performing style, as opposed to the operatic style that a lot of colleges do seem to prioritize. Mm-hmm. So just depending on voice types, it's sometimes a lot more successful for vocalists to pursue that rather than opera or rather than classical recitals, as an example.
Okay. When Andrew sings, does that hurt you? your ears?
When we were in the Richland chorus together, and I would always sit next to Logan because he's got perfect pitch and
listen.
I knew that he would get the parts right. So
the key is listening sometimes.
Right.
Making a good singer. Right. So you're not only directing. Are you going to play an instrument in the band or not?
I am admittedly undecided about that. Okay. There is a part for Engelshorn and oboe that I could potentially play if push comes to shove. But I also do kind of want to just prioritize the conducting part of it, just because one, I think it's going to be a little bit better of an experience for myself and just better experience for me going forward, as that'll be a little bit more directly useful to my my priorities as a composer. But it is not something that I have entirely ruled out, because I also understand that oboists are not a surplus commodity around here.
How many instruments do you play, by the way?
Typically, I only perform on about two, which is piano and oboe. I do also sing quite a bit. I also sing in various performances. Last year, my fiance Shay Schmidt ended up doing a joint recital with Liz Niemeyer, and I was involved with that as the pianist, as well as with a vocal duet with Shay, and so I ended up doing both of those things. Beyond those three avenues for performance, though, I at least have dabbled with how many instruments? I have dabbled with a few variants of the recorder. I've tried ocarina. I've tried the kalimba. I've done a little bit with percussion, and back in high school, I ended up doing quite a bit with xylophone, marimba, and vibraphone, which was really fun at the time. But
that's all. Man, he's got some instruments I've never heard of.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He stole them from another country, I think. To,
I think
play
he
them.
Did. Right. Wow, I'm impressed.
Now, quite a few of them were gifts from my family, by the way.
Oh, so. Okay, all right. So when you're playing music with your fiance there, does that sometimes cause some quarrels or not?
Not particularly. I think both of us, from having worked with each other for so long, kind of know where like our experiences lie. We don't try to tread on each other's like areas of expertise. Like because she ended up studying voice at UW Green Bay, I don't do anything concerning pronunciation or concerning vowels or concerning vocal production. Like if it's not coming across in a performance, I may encourage like a little bit more emphasis on the consonants, but that's not because like I'm telling her like this is what you need to do for consonants, and likewise, because I also have a little bit more experience with a wider variety of repertoire, from the musicals to a lot of different repertoire in the classical realm, especially. She's usually very receptive to my input for interpretation, for phrasing, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, we haven't had that many quarrels as of yet.
Now, are you recruiting her for the Music Man?
I am. Well, I actually don't know if I have to recruit her myself. Okay. She's very interested, and she's already expressed interest with the role of Marion.
Ah, okay, very good. So mark that one down, Andrew. So
right. Maybe, yeah. Yep. Yeah. She played when we did Joan of Arc at St. Joan out at the campus. She was Joan, and tremendous performance there. And that might be. It's always hard to pick your favorite, but boy, that could be my favorite one that I did out at the campus. So
yeah, that was a powerful one.
And part of it was, not to go into this horrible thing, I had an inkling way back then before anything was ever said, that the campus was going to fold because there were so few students. I had a bad feeling, and that made me enjoy that show because it was during that show I had that premonition, and it made me enjoy it more. Anyway,
those were some good days,
yeah,
weren't they?
Right.
Yeah. Lots of great ones.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come back with more about the Music Man. We're trying to encourage you, if you're listening today, to come out and be a part of it. If nothing else, come watch it. But they'd like to have you behind the curtains and in front of the curtain as well. Coming up, more on the Morning Show from WRCO. 1 o'clock hour for your chance to win, only on WRCO, your home for heartwarming moments and unforgettable surprises. Because at WRCO, we believe every mom deserves to feel cherished on Mother's Day.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Hey, 630 Report is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer, with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. A good amount of sunshine and mild conditions expected today and a high of 74. Maybe more rain developing later tonight and a low of 48. This morning, the fog is starting to lift here in Richland Center and we're at 46 degrees.
Green grass, yellow dandelions, and pesty moles. Hello, spring. Ellie here at Chet's. We have all of your lawn care needs for this spring season. Lawn seeds, fertilizers, and even mole control. Our ongoing sunflower seed sale will surely keep your birds singing in this beautiful weather. Warm weather also means chick season, but we don't just have chickens, we have baby pheasants available as well. We'd like to give a special thank you to all of our friends at Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop down and see us at 880 North Orange Street, or give us a call at 647-8833 to place your pheasant order today.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here's what you need to know. It was announced at last night's Richland Center City Council meeting that City Clerk Aaron Joyce is stepping down as clerk. His last day will be next Wednesday, May 15th. City Administrator Ashley Oliphant said that the position will be posted and anyone interested in serving the city as clerk is encouraged to apply. In the meantime, beginning May 16th, Ashley Oliphant will serve as interim City Clerk and City Treasurer, with Misty Molzoff from Southwest Regional Planning as the interim assistant until new personnel are hired. Alderperson Karen Tepley brought up to the council that recently there have been several situations where the council rules have not served the council well. As a result, she suggested that an ad hoc committee consisting of 3 to 5 people along with an advisory team be formed. The motion to authorize the creation of an ad hoc committee for the purpose of updating council rules was approved unanimously. Karen Tepley, Mark Chambers, and Melanie Walters were appointed to serve on the committee with Karen Tepley as chair. President Joe Biden returns to Wisconsin today. Biden is scheduled to deliver remarks at Gateway Technical College in Sturtevant at noon. The Journal Sentinel reports that he's expected to highlight the scaled-up Microsoft data center development in Mount Pleasant and perhaps contrast that with the underperforming Foxconn project supported by former President Donald Trump, who held a campaign rally last week in Waukesha. The White House also announced that Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Milwaukee a week from Thursday. These will be the 4th trips to Wisconsin for Harris and Biden, a sign of the state's critical importance in their bid for a second term. At the Capitol, the legislature's budget committee met on Tuesday, but the committee's Republican majority did not take up forever chemicals or health care funding for Western Wisconsin, as requested by Governor Tony Evers. Joint Finance Committee co-chair Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green said the governor lacks authority to compel the committee to meet. Markline and Representative Mark Bourne blamed Evers for vetoing bills on both matters. The dispute between Evers and Republican lawmakers on how to allocate $125 million budgeted for PFAS remediation is now months old, and it appears local governments will not see any of that funding released this year. Evers argued the bill restricted the DNR's ability to hold polluters accountable. The JFC also took no action on health care funding for Western Wisconsin, where 2 hospitals recently closed in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The committee approved spending
spending $36 million in opioid settlement funds that will include money for education and prevention. The committee's Republican majority modified the plan submitted by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services on how to spend the settlement money. An audit of diversity, equity, and inclusion practices at state agencies and the UW system will proceed. UW System President Jay Rothman on Tuesday told the legislature's Joint Finance Committee that he's not clear on what exactly will be audited.
So I'm struggling with what the standards of the audit might be. But again, we are willing to work with the committee. We're willing to work with the state auditor to try to define that because, we'll be transparent about it. And if the audit can help make us better, God bless it.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had promised the audit to help root out the DEI programs in state agencies after reaching an agreement with UW to redefine the positions. Tuesday's 6-4 committee vote to approve the audits was along partisan lines, with Democrats opposed. There will be more space for travelers at the La Crosse Regional Airport as two of the three daily flights to Chicago will be on larger planes. American Airlines is now using E-175 jets that will have room for 26 more passengers as well as a first-class option. The change comes about a year after Delta Airlines stopped servicing the Cooley region. Last month, American Airlines added an additional flight to Chicago to get to the current total of three daily flights. A number of Red Cross blood drives are going on this week. Area high schools will be holding them today. The first one scheduled will be at River Valley High School from 8 to 2. The second will be at Richland Center High School from 9 until 2. A third will be held from 10:45 to 4:45 at Wisconsin Dells High School. And a fourth will be held from 11 until 4 at Weston Schools today. Book a time to give life-saving blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood donor app. A pair of wedding barn owners will be suing the state over its new liquor license laws. The barns, represented by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, say the new law unfairly targets their establishments by requiring them to get formal liquor licenses to host weddings with alcohol. They argue that because they don't serve beer or alcohol themselves, but rather allow wedding parties to bring their own, they should not be subject to the same regulations that bars and taverns face. The new law passed with bipartisan support last year. There is now only one county in Wisconsin free of the emerald ash borer beetle. WJFW-TV reports that the beetle has been found in Washburn and Taylor counties. That leaves Burnett County in far northwest Wisconsin as the last place the invasive beetle has not spread. The Department of Natural Resources ended its statewide quarantine on moving firewood last year. Experts say once the beetle is in an area, it's only a matter of time before all native elm trees are killed by the pest. A reminder, the Spring Green Chamber of Commerce office is closed today and will be on Thursday as well.
Thinking about new window treatments for your home? Or how about a cordless upgrade to your current cellular pleated or wood blinds for a sleeker look? Stop in at Bailey Paint and Decorating today. Talk to Steve, Bailey's blind man. Steve will handle all the measuring and installation to take the stress out of fitting new blinds. Give your home a fresh new look with new window treatments and professional installation from Bailey Paint and Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
After up and down weather yesterday, it looks like it's going to be a little bit better day today with highs of 74 and sunshine and mild. But wait, there is rain on the way possibly for tonight and a low of 48. Thursday, cloudy, cool and breezy. Occasional showers tapering off in the afternoon and a high of 58. Friday's high, 65, with a 50% chance of scattered showers by early evening. In Richland Center yesterday, we picked up 47 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. We did top out at 75 degrees. This morning, the fog is beginning to lift following a midnight reading of 54 and a low of 45. We're at 46 degrees.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Sports Time is sponsored by Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Well, a few games were played yesterday. A few were canceled as well. We'll check out the high school scoreboard and also details on a Brewer win in dramatic fashion last night.
Are you looking to make a difference in your community? Whether you're a student between the ages of 13 to 18 looking to gain valuable experience, a retiree wanting to give back, or simply someone with a heart for service, there's a place for you at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. To learn more about volunteer opportunities and how you can get involved, contact our volunteer program coordinator. Make a difference by volunteering with the Richland Hospital and Clinics.
River Valley won a high school softball game over Richland Center 10-6 last night. Tessa Schluter was the winning pitcher after giving up 6 hornet hits, walking 3, and not striking out a batter. River Valley's Tessa Schluter then helped her pitching cause, going 2-for-2 with a double. Hannah Heglin was 2-for-3 with a walk. Brooklyn Stokes, 2-for-5 with 2 scored. Haley Williams had a double. Lydia Willoughby and Leah Makarowski each had RBIs. Ella Hillebrand had 2 hits and 2 RBIs, and Kenley Straka singled and scored. Richland Center's Abigail Williams was 2-for-3 with a triple. Riley Schultz doubled twice and 2 RBIs. Ebony McCorkle with 2 RBIs. Carly Meaden scored twice. Kaylee Nee had a hit for the Hornets, but they fell to 2-8 overall, 0-6 in the Southwest. With a 10-6 win, River Valley now 9-9 overall, 5-2 in the league. They have a makeup game with rival Dodgeville today, starting at 4 o'clock. Richland Center will make up a game today with Lancaster. Elsewhere yesterday in high school softball, a few games played around the area, including Highland edging Benton-Schulzburg 4-3 in 9 innings. Also, Prairie du Chien 7, Lancaster 3, Dodgeville 9-4 over Platteville. In baseball action yesterday, the Riverdale Chieftains got a huge pitching performance from junior right-handed Chase Chitwood last night, downing Fenimore by a score of 2-1. Chase would pitch a complete game, giving up just 3 hits while striking out 7 and walking none. Andre Tainter would deliver a clutch RBI double in the game to help the Chieftains raise their record to 7-3 in the conference and 9-6 overall. Mineral Point picked up an 11-3 win over Southwestern as well in the SWAL, and Westby defeated Arcadia 7-1. It was a win for the Ithaca Bulldogs over Kickapoo yesterday, 10-0. Micah Salisbury had 3 hits. Mac Neef and Wyatt Hilby each had 2, leading the Bulldogs to the win in 5 innings. And it was Isaac Jennings taking a tough luck loss on the mound, allowing 1 earned run on 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. The Weston Silver Eagles fell to Seneca yesterday. That final score was 3-1. A number of games on the schedule today, including Wisconsin Heights at Cambridge and Royal at Brookwood, Seneca at Waseca Steuben, and Ithaca at Kickapoo, Richland Center at Lancaster, and River Valley at Dodgeville. Last night at Quail Run, it was Keith Lang with the top score in men's golf action. He fired a 2-under 33. J.J. Klatt was second with a 37. A 3-run home run by Willie Adames in the 9th inning gave the Brewers a 6-5 win on the road in Kansas City last night. Junior Ortiz and Reese Hoskins pounded home runs earlier in the game, but Milwaukee trailed 5-3 going into the 9th. The victory snaps a 3-game losing streak. Jared Koenig got the pitching victory in relief, and Trevor Meagle earned his third save. It was quite a night for Adames, who was being heckled a bit by the fans and told them and the Brewers that he had their back and that he would hit a home run, and he did. Manager Pat Murphy talked about the come-from-behind victory.
I mean, they got a really, really good club. And so for us to hang in there and just hang in there, and guys playing out of position, guys playing, you know, Monastery and Bowers in the outfield at the end, and Mona getting his first hit of the season.
Pat Murphy with the comments following the win last night. The teams wrap up the three-game series this afternoon with the rubber game. Joe Ross is scheduled to be on the mound for the Brewers. The Cubs had San Diego 3-2 and the Mets over St. Louis 7-5 last night. Tampa Bay 5-1 over the White Sox, and Seattle beat Minnesota by a final of 10-6. The Badgers are rated 7th in the Big Ten Conference Football Power Poll. That's 7 out of the 18 teams in the new alignment. It's possible Wisconsin could make big improvements this season and still only win 7 or 8 games because of the league changes. Pollsters say they've rated the Badgers so high because head coach Luke Fickell and his staff have had more time to put things together. Expectations center on a much improved offensive line. Earning the top spot in the way too early poll is Oregon, followed by Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I'm Phil Nee with sports.
Kubota has the industry-leading BX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. BX tractor is a real tractor.
But, you know, I was stage manager for that one, and so we've formed our own little clique, even to the point where we would get together after the shows to do stuff, and, you know, we had our own, like, I think we had a name for our group, but anyway. But, yeah, it all worked out. Worked out pretty good, and even when I first came up to Wisconsin, you know, I really didn't know anybody, and then just being involved in the theater, it's like, oh, now I know this person and that person and somebody else over here, and not only that, the audience knows who you are, and I knew that I had transferred to becoming not an outsider, but somebody that was inside the community, because I've always heard, like, sometimes there's like a little click, like, even, you know, if your great great grandparents weren't born in Richland Center, you're not really a Richland Centerite. and I was doing a show and some place, and, you know, after we did our bows and all the other stuff, I heard somebody goes, "He's from Richland Center. He's one of us." So I knew I kind of made that
you transition. Made it. Yeah.
I made it. Yeah.
But you bring up a good point, Glenn, because a lot of times it's people from all walks of life that wouldn't normally hang out together, but you kind of become friends.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing, I always think that it's good job training for kids, because basically it teaches you to show up, work in a group, work with people that aren't your own age, because, no, you know, and when you're going to school, everybody's the exact same age as you are. So you work in a project, you complete a project, and you get some fulfillment out of that. So it's kind of job training. You know, you have to learn those skills in order to really make it in the outside world.
Very good point. You brought up a point earlier as well about auditioning, and really no need to be nervous about that.
Yeah, just show up. We'll find something for you to do. You know, if you're at all interested in the show, we will have we will teach you like a couple of like easy dance step type things, just to see if you can kind of like hear the music and know kind of how to move your left foot and then move your right foot, you know, see how kind of coordinated you are. I'm not, so, you know, so they leave me. That's why I'm in the back with the tree. So, but, and we'll also have you sing. We'll either have, I think, well, you could, if you want to sing something that you know, or sing Happy Birthday or something like that, just to know, just to kind of hear what your voice sounds like. One thing to remember when you do audition is to speak loudly, because that's kind of one of the keys to being up on stage. You know, yeah, we'll probably have people mic'd, but it's always good to be able to have a stage presence. Basically, you're up there, and the people in the back row can hear you. So
that's old school, going without the mic.
Old school stuff. That's right.
Trying to reach the back row of the auditorium.
That's there. Exactly right. Yeah.
So you remind me a little bit of when I tried out for a musical in the 80s with Jean Burkett, and she said, well, you can sing and you can act, but you've got two left feet, you know?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But there's a way to get around that.
There's
too,
a way right? to get around it. Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody can be taught. Certainly, we want to talk a little bit about the auditions and try to bring people out of the woodwork a little bit. And that's been the impressive thing for me, Andrew, over the years with community theater, is that all of a sudden somebody will be on stage and I'll be like, I didn't know they could act or they were interested in it. And all of a sudden, they become kind of a staple in your, I would guess, treasure trove of talent that you have here.
Right. Yeah. That's people have hidden abilities. And there's got to be people out there that have wanted to be on stage and thought about being on stage. And maybe you only want to do one show. Well, we've had shows where one person shows up once and they're perfect for a part in this show. It's like magical that and they do this one. I'm thinking of a particular campus production from years ago, and then they're gone. So I mean, if you want to do it once, that's fine. If you get the bug, like we all have, that's great too. But we love seeing new people, and we will give them big parts. Troy Miller from Spring Green showed up for Elf and ended up with his daughter. His daughter was trying out, and he figured, oh, what the heck? Ended up as the father in the show. So with no experience at all. So it can happen. We love to see new people. We talk about clicks and stuff, but we're delighted when we see somebody that we don't know. So
definitely. And Elf was great. I think you look back on that pretty fondly, don't you?
Yeah, that was a good show. It was a fun show, and it was one that we kind of had to pass things together and make things work and so on and so forth, and it did, and it came out. So, yeah.
Are you going to, I don't want to jump ahead a little bit, but do you want to do a Christmas show again this year or a holiday show?
No, we haven't. We're going to do, Leah Garner is going to direct Rope in the fall.
Oh.
We don't have a Christmas show set up, so it's unlikely that we're going to do one, but maybe next year. We get together at a certain point in the year and then vote on the shows that we're going to do, but it's not set in stone. We could do a Christmas show.
How many are in the voting?
Whoever shows up, whoever, if you've been part of the productions, you can vote. I've always wanted a very open membership because I think it's you want a big tent, and that's what we're going for. So whoever shows up, as long as you're not a stranger, you can vote.
Very good.
And I've got to brag that of course we've got kids on our board. At least we've got... Stella Woodhouse is a board member. She's 12. But we're so focused on wanting children involved and things like that. She wanted to be on the board. We like having kids. And so she's a board member.
You certainly do have all ages
right.
on the board, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and we get more of a perspective then, of course.
So when are the auditions and what are the times?
Yeah, the auditions are May 14th, 15th, and 16th. So the first one's a week from today. They're at the City Auditorium, 182 North Central Avenue, and 6:30. Although you can show up a little earlier if you wanted to. We're going to have you fill out an audition sheet and then go through the process. Now, if you want to know exactly what's going to happen, Ben Kell shot an audition video for us, and it's online. And I think if you look up Community Players Music Man Ben Kell, you will find it, and it's about 8 minutes long, and we take people through exactly what they're going to do for the Music Man.
Oh, very helpful then.
Aaron Starks was there, the music director, who's willing. However you want to sing is fine with her, which is one thing that I really love about her attitude. She can play piano for you. You can sing a cappella. You can bring something and sing along with it. And Brittany Hine, who has choreographed shows for us in the past, is going to do the choreography, and she works with children all the time. She's got the Irish dancers with a Gaelic name that I won't try to pronounce. And then I will have people read from the script. But that video is out there. It's already gotten over 900 hits on Facebook. So
you'll have 900 at the audition. Yeah, that's going to be.
That would be. Wow,
boy, that's going to be a problem.
And there's audition packets, I've got to point out, at the library. And I must thank Stacey Pilla for doing that for us. It occurred to me that instead of River City and Richland Center, she would be Marion, the librarian. She's the head librarian. But there's audition packets at the library if you want to go get them.
Maybe you should change the script to Richland City, because that's what it was originally named as. Right.
I would like. I would like to do that. Yeah. The guy actually grew up in I think it's Mason City, Iowa. The author of the show, and that's why he picked Iowa.
But it was it's the Quad Cities, right? Isn't that where it took place? I was thinking River City was Davenport or the Quad Cities or something like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Could well be.
There was a revival a few years ago of Music Man. It's had kind of a resurgence, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. My favorite version is the one with, I can never think of his name. He's Wolverine.
Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Thank you, Logan.
That's a great version, and I like it a lot. Yeah.
Logan, now Gene Burkett can make somebody with two left feet dance, but now what about singing-wise? Can everybody sing?
I would say so, yeah.
You can make them. Sometimes it's just having you know, the ability to just get up there and have, you know, no inhibitions, just do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being able to just try and go with the flow and give it your best shot can be really all that really needs to happen.
Now, we're going to have the actual live music. I know with Elf you had the recorded music, but there's something special about the live music there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the things that really just fascinates me, both as a listener and as a composer, is that when you're listening to live music, you can just really feel the vibrations of the instruments, especially the percussion, like in your seat when you're listening and when you're in an auditorium just taking everything in. Like it can be a really, really powerful feeling. Like right now I'm living in a trailer house, and the thunder this morning ended up shaking all of the walls and all the floors, and it's that same kind of feeling of just sheer power that is phenomenal to have, and it's really, really only replicable in a performance setting by live instruments, which is why it's so exciting that we're doing it that way.
Are you using a pit at the high school? Or has that been decided?
That's a sore subject, Phil. We can't use the pit because the lawyers in the world and the insurance people have decided that there should be a net over the pit in case somebody falls.
Oh.
And so the school's insurance company apparently won't let us use the pit. And I want to thank the voters of Richland County for passing the referendum. for the high school so that we can get things like that. We're going to have to put the band next to the pit. At least that's how it stands now.
Okay.
I went to see Kyla Plemer and the Addams Family at Platteville a couple of weeks ago, and they were using a pit with no net. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
But it's irritating because it's such a stupid thing. Nobody has fallen in the pit in 30 years that I know of. So, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But if you fell on the net, that would probably, you know, bring the house down.
Yeah, and if I fell on the net, I'd go right through and
no, you'd bounce back up.
What's the point of
right into the tuba.
Yeah.
Great.
Logan, do people try out then for the band? Do you have auditions for the band as well?
I'm not currently arranging auditions for the band, but I will be at the auditions for the vocalists and the dancers and actors. So if people want to meet in person and be able to discuss being a part of the orchestra, I'm going to be there for that, and I would openly welcome anybody who wants to join to head out for that.
Wonderful.
I think we pretty much trust you if you say that you can play the piccolo. We're going to trust that you can play the piccolo.
Kazoo or whatever it is.
Yep.
You know, you'll take them. So, yeah, I was just looking over the list of songs. Got Trouble in River City. That's a
right.
Popular one.
Right.
76 trombones.
Trouble actually started out, that was dialogue, and one of the people that was producing the show realized that it sounded like a song lyric, and they turned it into a song.
Oh, did not know that. Yeah. Pick a little, talk a little, which...
Pick a little, talk a little.
Good night, ladies. Let me see. What's another? Yeah, Wells Fargo Wagon, you mentioned that. Shapoopy, which always brings down the...
That's a big dance number.
Big dance number.
And then, of course, there's the Barbershop Quartet, which I want to encourage, if you've ever wanted to sing in a Barbershop Quartet, you get to sing Light a Rose, which is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
You get to sing How Can There Be Any Sin in Sincere. So that would be a lot of fun to be in the barbershop quartet. And I would encourage men, we're always open to alternate casting, so it could be female, but we're hoping for a male barbershop quartet. And if you've ever wanted to do that, please, please, please come to auditions.
Yeah, so. That'd be awesome. I presume they'll be dressed in, you know, the barbershop matching tops and things like that.
I definitely want period suit coats. I've seen so many productions where the costumes are great, and then they've got modern suit coats, and it just irritates me. but not everybody has the same sensibilities, so
yeah. Anyway. Well, it's going to be awesome. And hats off to you all for putting this on and putting your heart and soul behind it. I know you're all passionate about what you do. So we just need some people to come out and try out.
Right.
Don't we?
Yep. We promise it will be fun. We try to make it fun. It's a play. That's the point of it.
If you're looking for a fun summer and something to do,
right.
There you go.
Right.
So, auditions are at the auditorium in downtown Richland Center. The production is at the high school, however.
Right, exactly.
All right. And auditions next week, starting 1 week from today.
Right, 6:30.
Sounds good. Andrew Sharp, director, and Glenn Dunn, assistant director. Logan Willis, who is the musical director of the upcoming production, The Music Man, here in Richland Center.
Hey. And we'll remember.